Thank you, Larsons. Most kids learn a song at some point, at school or camp, and they inflict it on their friends and their families. It goes like this. This is the song that never ends. Yes, it goes on and on, my friends. Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because this is the song that never ends. It goes on and on. Okay. There are many annoying songs in the world, but this is the worst because it never ends. Other songs, quite different from that one, are powerful markers in our life. They evoke specific times and places, a relationship. And when we hear them, we're transported to those moments and those feelings. They come right back to us. When I hear Vivaldi's Four Seasons, I'm transported to Venice in the year 2000. Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle. Well, that puts me on the baseball field at 13 with my coach's truck parked in right field, blaring away. I should get points for weaving Guns N' Roses into a Christmas Eve sermon. Sufjan Stevens' album, Carrie and Lowell, is strangely connected to a sermon that I wrote on joy. We could think of songs like Silent Night. By the way, Silent Night is celebrating 200 years tonight. These songs, which are so connected to Christmas time. Christmas music has carved out a niche for our popular culture. And why would that be? It's because people use it to evoke a feeling that, despite all of its sappiness, transports us to a simpler, happier, more connected time. Or at least that's what they want you to think. Songs, as you know, can also carry a powerful message that impacts us the first time that we hear it, but then can take on deeper meaning as it's repeated. Sam Cooke's A Change Is Gonna Come, or the work of artists like Kendrick Lamar, U2, Bob Dylan, Beyonce, Bob Marley, Billie Holiday, Lady Gaga. All of these artists are tackling important issues of the day through music. And so the messages in music are particularly powerful. Why? Because they speak not only to our heads, but they connect to the very rhythm of our heartbeat. That's why we've been exploring these poetic musical moments in the first two chapters of Luke's Gospel. For those of you who are visiting, that's what we did in Advent. We wanted to have a heart understanding of what Jesus' birth means for us today. And so the first song by Jesus' mother, Mary, praises God for using her in his great plan. And the second Advent song by Jesus' uncle, Zechariah, reveals that Jesus is coming as the long-promised Savior for his people. Zacharias describes him as a light to combat darkness and death and bring this way of peace into the world. A powerful angelic choir sings the third song, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And they herald the birth of Jesus to humble shepherds. And they allow us to listen in to the sound of heaven rejoicing. The final Advent melody sung by Simeon in the temple courts as Jesus is dedicated to the Lord tells how this baby will bring salvation not only for the Jews but for all people. Jesus will be a light of revelation to the Gentiles. It's a powerful message of inclusion that's good news that Jesus came to bring. So all these songs take place at a specific time, a specific place. And Luke incorporates them to help us to anticipate what Jesus' life will be. These two chapters at the beginning of Luke are like Act 1, setting up the expectations that Jesus will fulfill in the rest of the gospel with his life. Now there's another set of songs that help us to see Christmas as more than a baby story and help us to understand why Jesus came in the first place. And they're written to people are being persecuted for their faith. It's written to encourage them to persevere in belief, and to realize that God's plans will not be thwarted, and that maintaining their commitment is worth it. The message in these songs are a remedy for the deepest concerns of our heart on the darkest of nights. And these songs tell of the greatness of God in all of creation. They put front and center a call to worship, and they highlight Jesus' central role in history. In Revelation chapter 4, the Apostle John is catapulted into the presence of God, to the very throne room of heaven, where there's this fantastic scene with lightning and smoke and these four crazy-looking figures with eyes all over them. There's wings and all these different faces. It's like a rock and roll show. And we hear the spoken word poetry as these creatures are chanting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." And they say again, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." John says that they never cease to say these things. They're in the presence of God declaring how set apart God is for all time. How different, how other. And yet, this song that shows the majesty of God is just not enough. So whenever the creatures are doing this, which is all the time, the 24 elders who surround the throne with thrones of their own, they bow down in worship and they sing, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." The reality that John sees in that throne room reveals God's eternal worth. It gives him credit for creating everything and then continually upholding all of creation. The buck stops here with God. And so he alone is worthy to receive this type of worship. The glory, the honor, the power rightfully belong to this holy figure. In this season of hope, where do you turn to explain the grandeur of creation? Who do you look to as your perfect model of character? How do you sort out your soul's longing for eternity in a world that seems so relentlessly to bring kings and peasants alike to death's dark door? The songs in heaven make a case for God to satisfy these questions. These heavenly songs reveal an eternal being so pure and so powerful and so transcendent that the only proper response is worship. And yet these songs seem to be hidden from so many of us. These visions that John saw seem to be like wisps. God seems far off for some of us. The world of the Bible seems inaccessible. Our own struggles with daily life cry out for now. Help me now. We want to be part of a world that's so different from the one that we see. These Christmas songs and Christmas sermons can miss our hearts completely. Hearts that are doubtful at best and resigned at worst. Is there anyone who can speak into my life with something that's true and eternal and dependable, worthy of a new hope? So many of us need a new message. We need a new song. And the good news is that such a song exists. In the throne room of heaven, John sees God holding a scroll with seven seals, and a mighty angel is asking if anyone is worthy. Is there anyone worthy to open up the scroll? And it's at that moment that these yearnings that so many of us feel, so many of us walk with friends and neighbors who are struggling, It's at that moment that these yearnings connect with this vision. You can feel the tension in the air. Who can open the scroll? Everyone wants it to be open. Everyone wants someone worthy to take it up. Everyone is looking for someone to change the world, but every soul in all of creation goes silent. There's only silence. John begins to weep as hope drains from his heart, and you can sense the despair. It's familiar in our world. No one's good enough. No one has perfect integrity. There's no way to overcome ourselves. That's why we turn to so many excesses. Opioids to dull the pain. Exploitation to exert power we know we don't deserve. Serial relationships and online fantasies. We get stuck in the sound of silence. And just as despair is about to overwhelm John, one of the elders speaks to him, and he points to one who is able to open the seals and read the scroll. This is one who has legal authority, the moral perfection, the creative power to open the seals and set in motion all that is written. Who is this figure? The elder says, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David who has conquered. John looks closer and he sees close to the throne, there's a lamb looking as if it'd been slain. And he takes up the scroll and he breaks its seals. This powerful figure, it's the baby who was born in Bethlehem. It's Jesus. This changes everything. It's at this moment that we get a new message, a new song. The 24 elders sing a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and every language and every people and every nation. And you've made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. And they're joined by the four living creatures and this throng, this multitude of angels who sing out, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He's worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And the cymbals crash and the timpani go. And then all creation joins to sing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And by the end, this king is being worshipped using the same language given to the Lord God Almighty. Jesus is worthy to receive the praise that God receives because he is God, who through his own birth as a human baby, through his sacrificial death on a cross, was able to establish through his victorious resurrection from the dead this eternal reign of God on earth. Jesus, he's worthy of 1,000 songs. His ways will transform the nations. His spirit will heal our hearts. His power will remake you. His power will bring peace to the earth. And so as you look to find relief and hope and explanatory power for the world, there's no greater advocate. There's no greater authority worthy of our heart and soul. Don't get stuck singing songs that only take you back to emptiness and despair. There's an invitation that radiates like the Star of Bethlehem, to join all creation in the new song that never ends. It goes on and on, my friends. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. To him who sits on the throne And to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever.